On this week's episode of the We Don't Know Either podcast, we talk baseball, hair colors, and a new way to get around.
Let's hop to it.
John, we're going to get along very, very well. And other people I get along with? People that buy our book. It's We Don't Know Either. It's available on Amazon, on Target, Barnes & Nobles, anywhere books are sold. Enjoy trivia at home. Send it to people that can't come to one of our events. We Don't Know Either. Enjoy the show.
Enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into episode number 329 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
I'm John.
Hey, John, move a little bit closer to that microphone.
There you go.
There you go, John. We want to hear you. The people want to hear from you.
I'm ready to be heard.
Cool. What do you want people to know about you? John, the trivia host. You can catch him Tuesdays at Union Jack's in Gaithersburg.
At 7:30 at Gaithersburg. We're in Rio. We've been there for, 9 months now?
Yeah.
It's going great. I love it. I'm there pretty much every week.
What would you describe your style as a host?
Very light. We like to keep it light.
Okay.
I like to joke with all of the people in the audience. Come on up. Write funny things down on your answer sheets. If you write something down, I tell everybody, if you can make me genuinely laugh, I will give you bonus points. I like giving away bonus points, unlike some people in this room, as I've heard today.
We do differ at this. I'm very strict with my bonus points. Like, you have to make me borderline pee my pants with a funny answer for me to give you bonus points. I'm sorry.
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that you're so jaded. Like me.
Jaded? What
like
is
me,
jaded?
You are very jaded as far as, if it makes me laugh, I will absolutely give you bonus points. But I have been hosting trivia nights for 10 years. And if you write your team name, my couch pulls out, but I don't, and expect me to laugh at it, you're going to be sorely disappointed. So the bar is very high as to what makes me laugh.
I will say, though, even though I don't give out bonus points, I am very, very liberal with my grading. If it kind of sounds very similar, like, oh, you get points and you get points. I'm like Oprah kind of.
I've started to do that. I used to be really strict about it. And I was just like, you know what? It's trivia. It's fun.
And as I say, if spelling counted, no one would ever get any points ever.
This is true. Yeah. I think you're recently coming over to the dark side because you have just crossed that jaded line.
Very much so.
Right. No. You've been now hosting long enough and you've hosted enough events where you're like, no, you're not funny. Go back to your
seat. I do laugh every time, and I do give a lot of bonus points. I want to be clear about that. So, John, what would you say is, like, your area of comedy? That, you know, like, is it, if somebody writes, like, a fart pun, is that your thing or what?
You know, I'm kind of a weird guy when it comes to comedy, so something that's kind of out of the box. I have a group that plays every week, and they're probably going to be listening to this because they know old guys rule. What's up?
Hey, guys.
Yeah, they put something down, like, if they don't know an answer, they'll put, like, Barack Obama, for if it's about a dolphin answer or something like that.
It could be. It could be. You never know. Thanks, Obama, for the points.
Right. It really depends on how the answer was or the question was written. So it just, how it mixes up, it really gets me going sometimes.
You're kind of an out-of-left-field sort of person.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if it's just a completely random
answer. If I'm not expecting it, it gets me going.
Okay.
All right, so completely out of left field. You have a baseball fact.
I do. So I was thinking for my fact today. There are a certain number of players who have won the Rookie of the Year and Most Valuable Player in the same year. So obviously their first year in the Major League Baseball, they've won Rookie of the Year and MVP. Who are those players? First off, tell me how many there are, and if you can name those players, please do so.
Would you get bonus points if we named the players? Would we get bonus points?
So if you were playing at Union Jacks at 7:30 on Tuesday nights, I would be giving you bonus points for names of the players.
Okay, so John actually ran his question by me, so I'm going to respectfully bow out because I know the answer. I did not know it before you told me, and I have no idea because baseball's not exactly my thing. I like clocks in sports. I'm pro clocks and ending things, but I enjoy it.
You'd be in favor of a pitch count then.
I am in favor of ending the game at 2 hours exactly. Like 2 hours is my max. 2.5 hours, fine. And I get the pitching. I get it. It's interesting. It's fun. But up to a certain point.
Okay. So under your scenario, you're totally against the NBA shot clock. Like one team can sit on the ball as long as the game ends at 2 hours.
No, shot clock is good. No, they keep the action
going. That's what I meant to say was pitch clock.
Yeah, I'm pro it. Throw the ball.
So don't you
also replace all the umpires with robots?
I agree with that 100%.
All robots.
No,
I mean,
no question.
There are people that say, okay, having robots or having umpires and no robots, it gives period of authenticity to the game where, you know, some calls could be wrong even though they were right and other and vice versa. But at the same time, don't you want everything to be right?
I was going to say, don't those people, do they also want to live in mud huts and hunt for their own food?
Those are the people that score by hand.
Would, her, would the umpire's name be Alexa and they just be like cursing out Alexa the umpire?
Yes. That is exactly what you would be doing.
Oh, okay, so British Siri.
Yeah. Okay, so guys, Nick, Michael, guess.
I think I'm going to defer to Nick a little bit on this one. You're going to have more baseball knowledge than I am.
Both of you guys play fantasy baseball.
We do, yes. Yes. So,
all three of us, actually.
I'm awful at it, though, is the problem.
And I believe my fantasy team is actually named after one of the answers.
Okay.
So,
share,
or at least
share.
one of my old fantasy team names.
Please share.
So my I'm trying to think of the best way to present this. One of them I think has happened during my lifetime and during my fandom.
First off, I don't know how old you are.
Okay.
but yes, okay. I know you're older than this person has been playing.
Okay.
And here's a tip. They're both retired at this point.
Okay.
At this point being the big thing, because I believe one of them just retired.
Yes,
after
that is
season.
The onus of the question being asked.
So the old team name that I used to use in fantasy baseball was the Honey Nut Ichiros.
Ooh, and he's onto it.
I believe that Ichiro was the Rookie of the Year, although he was Rookie of the Year at like 27 years old or something like that, because he came over after playing in Japan.
So that's one.
That's one. Ichiro Suzuki for the Seattle Mariners.
The other one, I have literally no guess at all. But I remember Ichiro getting Rookie of the Year because it was such an anomaly, because he was so much older than the normal Rookie of the Year, and getting the MVP in the same season. Mm-hmm. I do remember that happening. I remember watching that.
So how many others are there?
Right. Well, so in my lifetime, he's the only one I can think of. I think maybe Mike Trout was on a potential list, but I don't think he won the MVP in his rookie season.
I don't believe so.
I know he has finished top four in the MVP voting in every year since he's been a professional.
Yeah, he has. Go Angels.
And he's won it either three or four times and been the runner-up two or three times.
Right, and he's been injured so many years, too. He's incredible.
Yeah. Oh, it's insanity.
Yeah, he's absolutely ridiculous. But I do not believe he falls into this.
You would be correct.
Answer.
He is not the other answer.
Right, he finished fourth in the year that he won the Rookie of the Year. Yes? Or did Bryce win the Rookie that year? Because they were the same year.
They were the same year. Were they the same year, or was it 1 year difference?
Maybe.
I
want to
say they were the same year.
All right, so how many?
So I'm going to say it's happened once in my lifetime, and baseball's been around for roughly three of my lifetimes, so I will say three.
I think you may have let it slip earlier. Did you say there was only two?
I did, I think, outside of the podcast studio. I told Michael there was only two.
Thought you said it here. Lindsay got me to do that last week, so don't worry about it.
All right, so two are the answers. So who's the other?
Fred Lynn in 1975. He played for the Boston Red Sox. Not only did he win Rookie of the Year, MVP, but he also won a Gold Glove. It's considered one of the greatest rookie seasons of all time.
Right. The Fred Lynn hat trick, so to speak.
Right.
Wow, very cool. Great fact, and thank you for kicking us off today.
Yeah.
But I could not resist the left field segue. So, gentlemen, I leave it to you. Fred Lynn was the answer, talking about baseball. Who's got it? It's a fun game we play that we know every year.
Well, you know, baseball is a lot about stats.
It is.
Statistics, yes.
So I got a little bit of stat for you guys.
Oh, okay.
So there's this thing that's called God's number when it comes to Rubik's Cubes. And essentially what it identifies is it's in any given variation or mixing of a Rubik's Cube, the least number of moves it would take to solve.
Okay.
So, and it actually apparently has recently been discovered.
Okay.
So my question is, when it comes to a Rubik's Cube, no matter what is the least number of moves needed to solve it? What is God's number when it comes to a Rubik's Cube?
So no matter the combination, however messed up the Rubik's Cube is, can be solved by this number.
Yes.
Right. It might be lower than this number, but it will never be higher than this number.
Right.
Okay. Lindsay?
I don't understand.
So okay.
Where did I lose you, Lindsay?
You have a Rubik's Cube.
I'm just going to be honest with you guys.
Michael, tell me whether or not I'm right on this.
Go for it.
You have a Rubik's Cube.
I have. I've solved one once by accident.
They are 4x4 on a side, or is
three by three?
3x3 on a side. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the 3x3 on a side. You can start with a perfectly done Rubik's Cube that has all the colors.
That's how
on the
I solved
side.
It.
Yes.
No,
you started that way and then you went backwards. So you can mess that up for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or a year and a half. And no matter how messed up you make it, there is a solution in X number of moves, at least.
So this is the minimum number of moves.
Right.
Maximum number of moves. So if you were to take a perfect Rubik's Cube and just turn the top once, then you have a solution in one move, right? So no matter how messed up I make it, you can solve it in X number of moves.
And that's called God's number.
Right.
Oh. They did not cover this in Sunday school.
God's number.
What's interesting to me, Michael, is you said that they just figured this out. Haven't Rubik's Cubes been around for like
30
years?
They actually saw it. I'm looking at this article. It's a couple years old, but yeah, we'll call it recently in the course of brand history.
Michael just recently found this out.
Yes, I recently found this out.
Okay, I don't know anywhere to even start. I know that the world record for solving a Rubik's Cube is 4.2 seconds.
2 seconds. Yeah. Actually, I think it was just recently beaten.
3.9, I think.
Yeah, I think it's 3.9 now.
What? You know, in our lifetime, I never thought we'd see a sub-4 second Rubik's Cube.
I know,
solve.
Right? We're truly living in a golden age.
Well, this is interesting about one of the videos I saw. They were talking about the potential of a sub-2 second world record one day.
Is that
really?
By a human? Or
by a human. It's theoretically possible.
I don't believe it.
Theoretically
I mean
possible.
You have to get lucky more than anything else, right?
Part of it would have to be luck.
Yeah.
Right.
3.47 is what I'm reading here as the Rubik's Cube world record.
Funny enough, I was watching videos of ridiculous feats. Right, those like people are awesome videos with
the guy juggling the Rubik's Cube as he's solving them.
It's absolutely ridiculous. But I did see the part of one of those videos was the fastest Rubik's Cube solve ever, and they had a machine do it, and it was like less than a second.
Oh my
point
gosh.
0.38 is what
that
I'm
point,
reading.
Yeah,
it
less
was,
than
it
half
was
a second.
MIT robot.
Right. So
make that robot the robot ump.
Exactly. Obviously, it knows what it's doing. So that being said, I had a fraternity brother in college that was one of those people that could solve a Rubik's Cube no matter how messed up it was and in very little time, no matter what it was. He could always do it in less than 30 seconds. And I think he said to me that on average, it took him between 15 and 25 moves in order to make it happen.
Right,
no matter
pattern,
what he did.
Right?
Yeah. He said there's an exact pattern, and he had it memorized, and you can just like make 3 moves and move any square to any other square in 3 moves or something along those lines. So it's just a matter of how often he had to repeat those 3 moves in order to get it solved, and he could always do it in less than 30 seconds. So it's less than 30 seconds because I know a guy who can do it in 30 seconds or less no matter how messed up it is.
Well, I'm looking for the number of moves, not how quick it is.
Oh, okay.
Okay, then I will say, he said 15 to 20, always would round solve it. I'm going to base it on what Nick's saying. My initial guess was going to be 37, but that seems pretty high. So I'm going to go with 29.
Okay.
So all the logic has pretty much been buried out between Nick and Lindsay. So I'm going to go like right in the middle and say 24.
Okay.
I'm going to go under that. Because, again, talking to him about that, because that was one of those things that my young mind found absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And in the years that have passed since then, I have still not bothered to figure out what that seems like an easy thing to do, right? Mm-hmm. You can solve a Rubik's Cube. People think you're smart. So why not just learn the stupid trick so that you can have that in your back pocket just in case?
Sure.
Right.
You never know.
Exactly. I'm very much I love learning stupid things so that I have them in my back pocket just in case. Like, I know how to pick locks.
You never
and I have a lockpick set because might as well learn that.
I'm similar, except I learned to juggle. So.
Right. Yeah. No, I can juggle. Like, these are all super easy things to pick up that require very little effort, and it's fun to have them in your back pocket.
Give us your guess.
I'm gonna say it's like, I want to say it's 17 or 18 moves. I'm going to say 18 moves.
Price is Right rules. Nick wins.
Okay. What is it?
It's 20. It's 20 moves.
Oh, wow. Well done.
One off.
And just, this is another piece that I just found super interesting. The possible positions of a cube, 43, make sure I'm getting this right.
Trillion.
Quintillion.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Whoa.
Yeah, there's just too many variables to get in.
Yeah, quintillion. Over 43 quintillion possible positions of the cube.
And that's just a 3x3 cube.
That's just the 3x3 cube.
Mm. Right. Yeah, I couldn't even. I have a problem with I have a 2x2 cube at home. It's impossible. I can't do it. My brain doesn't work.
It came original though, right? It came with like a perfect set, and then you mixed it up.
Yeah, okay. And it's never been right since then.
Yeah, of course. This makes me want to go buy a Rubik's Cube, by the way. Right. I'm not going to lie. I got some time coming up. I might just try to learn how
to do
this.
Like three at home. They just sit in the basement.
So they seem so fun, and there's YouTube videos that tell you how to do it. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I can learn how to solve a Rubik's Cube in about a half hour, and then I just never have decided to go ahead and do that.
Exactly, and that's my point. Yeah. So, Michael, speaking of moving.
Oh,
see that? Speaking of moving, there is a new transportation startup company.
Mm.
Okay, so you've got your Ubers and your Lyfts.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I've heard of them.
Then you go down a level to your like bike ride shares and
your electric scooters.
Yeah.
Be careful on those people. Be careful.
And everything else. There's a new company that is it's a transportation startup in San Francisco. And they
of
recently
where
else would they be? They recently announced that they will begin offering what mode of personal transportation to the citizens of San Francisco?
Helicopter?
Okay.
I think we've talked about like the Ubercopter before or something along those lines.
Uh-huh.
My first guess, just straight off the board, hoverboard.
Okay.
Mm,
okay.
A hoverboard. Okay.
I don't know how pricey that would be permanent, but
yeah,
a boat.
Very fun.
I mean, are you talking about like a legitimate hoverboard, or are you talking about like the hoverboards that are out there now, which are just Segways without a seat?
Something along those lines. Yeah, because if there were hoverboards that were actually in production, we would have all known about that a lot.
I would definitely have one.
Oh,
yeah.
Back to the Future 2 motifs just all over the place.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, all right, Lindsay, helicopters. John's going with hoverboards.
I kind of want to change it to boats, though. Or maybe jet skis.
Ooh, jet skis.
Oh, jet skis would be fun.
That's not the answer based on your reaction.
Across the bay.
Yeah.
I'm going to say unicycles because they already have bicycles.
Okay.
I'm going to say unicycles.
Okay. Well, considering this is not a number question, I'm going to give it to Michael as closest without going over.
Hey.
Okay.
I will give you a hint. It's a really good hint. I'm going to tell you the name of this startup company.
Okay.
Okay. The name of the company is Kangaroo. CANGORO.
Pogo stick.
Ooh. Pogo stick.
Really?
Is correct. And it is very interesting in this article that I'm going to post to the link down for the podcast. Right in the start of the article, it has, here's the press release for the new company. And in the first paragraph, it's like, this is a real company. It's not a joke or a publicity stunt. We are actually doing this.
I love that. Have you guys ever been on a pogo stick before?
I have.
I have very poor balance, so I've always been scared of getting on a pogo stick. Mm. So
no.
I have not.
Nick, have you pogoed before?
I have pogoed, but not in many years.
Yeah, I've told this story already on the podcast, but I tried to set a world record for pogo sticking in my backyard, and it did not go well because I did 10,001 jumps,
uh-huh.
and the world record is in miles. So, so my advice to all of the trivia people out there, or just in general, that if you're going to try to accomplish a feat, make sure you know what you're aiming.
Yeah,
make sure you know what the feet is, because miles are very different than just jumps. But my hands were like bloody and bleeding. I was pogoing for hours.
Yeah.
And also, I didn't know you had to get it officially
like
verified.
It,
yeah,
watch,
no, I was just like, I'm going to do this.
10,001 jumps is a lot.
That's a lot of jumping.
17 inches of movement, not quite close enough to the record.
Yeah, it was just in this little tiny backyard, too. But anyway, I have a fond...
How many hours did that take?
I don't remember, but it was a long time. Seriously, my hands were bloody. I was so good at pogo sticking, I could do 1 foot and jump rope at the same time.
That's actually pretty good.
So.
Consider me duly impressed.
Oh, thank you.
I'm surprised that Lindsay didn't come up with the pogo stick company trivia facts.
I didn't, but I will say this, John. My fact, I was inspired by myself. So that will be my segue, is that pogo sticking inspired me as a child. And this fact came from me being inspired. So yesterday I got 10 inches cut off my hair, and the office of five dudes that I work with, no one noticed. It's been up all day, to be fair.
I was going
to
say, you've had it in a bun all day.
No, I haven't had it in a bun. I've had it in a ponytail. And
you had it in a bun in the meeting.
I had it in a ponytail most of the day. And it's like, I feel like 10 inches is a noticeable difference to be like, hey, where'd most of your hair go? So I wanted to look up a hair related fact. And I was curious.
Just to poke fun at the rest of us.
Obviously. Because I think I lost like 2 pounds. And I'm donating it for one of the week charities.
Did you do it to be faster for internationals?
Honestly, I did. So I got to grow it back by the wedding. So anyway, I wanted to know if there was a different amount of hair based on your hair color. So like between blondes, redheads, people with black hair, brown hair, does... do they have more? Like, do I have more because I have brown, or do blondes have more, whatever? So out of those hair colors, who has the most hair on their head on average?
So it's a scientific fact that one color has longer?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's like density of hair?
Are we talking about like number of hair follicles or how quickly
number
it
grows? Number of hairs.
Okay.
Number of hairs. I will say that this is according to Bauman Medical. They are a company that they call themselves one of the leading hair experts of hair transplants and things. So it's not an official medical study, but they have medical in their name, so I'm going to go with it.
I can tell you this. I'm a brunette.
Mm-hmm.
And the number of hair follicles on my head are dropping drastically at a precipitous rate.
Well, here's
on
what
a
I will
daily
say
basis.
And argue to that. I am also a brunette.
Uh huh.
And my hair has been described as thick and luscious.
Uh huh.
So, like, actually, this week.
I guess we're all brunettes in here, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Do you think that brunettes
it's a
have more hair?
Company.
Yeah. I have a feeling that blondes are the least dense.
Sorry.
I guess I could have phrased that better.
For the record, District Trivia, Bridgetown Trivia, Old Line Trivia, do you like blondes, brunettes, redheads? We are all inclusive to all hair types.
It just came out funny.
Yeah. I know it did.
Blondes' hair is the least dense. I would say that people with black hair have the most dense hair.
I was leaning the same way.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And also the longest. I don't know if that's a thing. I guess that just means how long you go in between getting your hair cut. But.
Exactly. I don't think there's any sort of length of hair that would undermine. I mean, obviously there would be, but I don't think any reasonable length of hair would undermine the structural integrity of a strand.
I mean, just the fairy tale of Rapunzel on its own.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, that would probably be too much. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I think I have to side with everybody else in the room in that the dark to light, thick to thin level would play out.
Okay.
So yeah, I would say. I mean, redheads is a weird thing though, because I know it's very rare. But is the thickness more or less for red versus blonde?
Less. I have a roommate who's a redhead, and he has very wispy hair.
If I had to so like put it on a scale, I'd go blonde on the thinnest,
right.
Then redhead, then brown, then black.
Yeah,
as you get thicker.
Yeah, no, and that's I think that's where we all are landing is that right. As you go down okay. The color.
So you guys are locking
like
it
dark.
In.
Yeah,
I think so.
You're all wrong.
Ah.
Okay.
Mm.
So blondes have an average of 150,000 hairs. The average redhead has 90,000.
It is. Really
so nice. Redheads are on the lower end of that. And black or brown hair average 110,000 to 100,000 hairs. So right in the middle, blondes have the most.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is
hairs
the exact opposite of what I would have thought.
Yeah. That's why I thought it was interesting.
Yeah. Medical reasoning behind that or in any sort of explanation?
No.
The lighter the hair, the more difficult it is to reflect the heat from the sun. So they need
that
more of
like,
them yeah, in order to maintain internal body temperature.
Get at us, Bauman Medical.
That sounds like a lot of BS there from Sir Nicholas. But I also, double bonus fact, you're born with the amount of follicles you'll ever have, much like ladies and their eggs. So your skin follicle or your hair follicles don't ever change, and you're born with 100,000 roughly on average on your scalp.
Sure.
Follicles, yeah, which I think is interesting.
I'm significantly below that now.
No, your follicles still stay the same. It's just there's no hair in them.
The number of holes in my head
yes.
are the same.
Yes. Yes.
Is that what a follicle is?
Yeah, it's like
is
the
it a hole in head. I thought
yeah,
it was like the root, the stem of the whatever.
Your hair begins growing from a root in the bottom of the follicle, and then the root is made up of cells of protein, and when your hair gets pushed out through your skin, it's actually just dead. That's why it doesn't hurt when you cut it.
I think that's what our secret phrase should be, too.
So now
is that what a follicle is?
Is that what a follicle is?
And now we're a hair podcast.
We are, yes. It gets hairy in here. That's what a follicle is. Is that what a follicle is?
Is that what a follicle is?
Is that what a follicle is? Michael, what is that secret phrase?
Is that what a follicle is?
That is correct. The secret phrase. Yes. So the answer is yes. Is that what a follicle is? But yeah. So I went down the train of the hair things. And here's the last bonus fact. So according to the American Academy of Dermatology, what is the maximum amount of hairs you can lose in a day before you get concerned? Like normal hair loss.
At this point, I'm at like 3 or 4.
So
I am constantly concerned on a regular basis.
Yeah, so how many hairs can you lose in a day when you're like, okay, I shouldn't be concerned?
10. I don't. So I have no. I have no frame of reference for this.
So basically, I'm asking how much does the how many pieces of hair does the average person shed in a day?
We're just doing some quick math, right? If we have 100,000 on average, if you're losing 10 per day, that means you're losing like
10 that I notice.
0.0001
or like 3,000 per year, 3,500 per year. That's scary. That means if Nick's 35, he's going to be bald in a year.
That's right. That's not good.
Oh, cool. Thanks, John, for pointing that out.
And this is my last time on the podcast.
Yeah.
The 100,000 hairs, as you said, what the average person starts out with?
You have 100,000 follicles on your scalp. You have about 5 million follicles across your entire body.
Mm. Okay. I would say, you know, 1%. If 1% of your hair fell out in a day, that would be a lot.
That's a lot.
How about a tenth of a percent?
Mm. All of a sudden, my 10's not looking so dumb, is it? Huh?
A tenth of a percent would be 100. And that's way better than Michael's dumb answer of 10. So that's what I'm going to go with.
Yeah, 100 is correct.
Wow. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so 100 is correct. They say on average you lose 50 to 100 hairs per day. And also I want to clarify that a hair follicle is part of the skin. So it grows hairs by packing them together.
Way too scientific with it, and I made myself look a little bit dumb.
Well, John, welcome to the We Don't Know Either podcast. Okay? Welcome to the We Don't Know Either podcast. And on that note, that's kind of the perfect way to end this up.
Yeah.
So we'll be back next week. John may or may not be here. TBD. But this has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
And I'm John.
We don't know either.
Bye.